Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Advocate, are you with us on the line?
Absolutely. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Are you well?
Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us, and a great pleasure to have you here on Maranatha Drive AWR once again. Now, we're talking about the importance of the last will and testament. Conversations about death and finances can be somewhat uncomfortable. But as they say, the only thing in life that is certain, it is death and taxes. So it's important that we prepare for the inevitable, unpleasant as it may be. Now, why is having why is having a last will and testament so important, Advocate?
Okay. Besides the fact that just being organized is prudent and that it is biblical, if we read from Isaiah chapter 38, that's the one where the prophet Isaiah goes to King Hezekiah and says, look, the disease that you have, the illness you're suffering from, is unto death. It means you are not going to survive it. So the instruction from God is set your house in order.
Yeah.
And, you know, if God orders that to say, so before anyone dies, they must have their things in order.
Mm.
Number one, it helps you because you know that your dependents after you are going to be okay. You know, in Shona is a language from Zimbabwe, one of the languages from Zimbabwe. We have a proverb that says, "Fuma yenaka ino parada ukama." And what we mean when we say that is, if a person is disorganized and they haven't properly organized their estate in terms of a will or last will and testament, let's say the beneficiaries and the would-be beneficiaries are going to be holding out spears and after you're gone. Because somebody wants that Mercedes, somebody wants that house, or somebody's upset that they got less than the other person, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, chances of people destroying their relationships over an estate, over an inheritance are very, very high. Okay, but they are made better when you have a last will and testament, because you can't argue with a dead person.
Yes,
what they have written is what they wanted, you know. And usually, I know testators, they write, or testatrixes, right? If it's a woman, they write according to the relationship they had with you when they were alive. So you can't want to benefit more, I suppose, than perhaps the relationship that you had. So let's look at it this way. When you have a last will and testament, like I said, it is just prudent. It is biblical. Okay, it saves trouble after you're gone. All right.
Yeah.
And it also makes sure that you look after your dependents, because people are not interested in looking after a deceased person's family. If there's anything people do not like, it's that.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, they say it's your baby. So if you had a house, make sure you're leaving that house to your husband or your wife and children. If you had savings, make sure that those savings, they're not going to be, people are going to be cropping. Okay? For you know, because you have sometimes relatives that just have more influence or who are bullies. And
true.
We have seen that even where we are having a funeral service, okay, or the various funeral services that are held, there's an uncle who's already holding the keys to the car, to the Prado. You know what I mean? And nobody can say anything to him because he's a bully.
True.
You know, and then sometimes you have these women who say, well, customarily, since our sister died, is the one who died, we are allowed to go into the kitchen and take everything because those things belong to her. You have, you know, the man's relatives, sometimes they come in also and they say, look, this is a Maposa home. We don't care about anybody else. If you came here, you are a visitor. Go back to where you came from. Yeah, they're talking about the wife. This is the Maposa home. So the sofas are Maposa sofas. Okay. And then they just give themselves rights. But where there is a will, usually nobody touches anything. They all wait for the will reading. Okay. So that we hear to say, okay, so this spoon, which is supposed to go to those shoes, the kettle in the rural areas where the, so people generally respect more. They ask, is there a will? If there's a will, it seems to bring order people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true, man. Now, Advocate Maposa, tell me, does one then need to have a will, even if there's not much of an estate to leave behind? It looks like wills are probably for the wealthy.
No, definitely not. You see, if I have a bicycle, I want to rest easy. Not that there's any other way to rest. But I'll be happy to know that my bicycle is going to my only son, full stop. It's not going to be taken by someone else who's going to sell it.
Yeah.
So no matter how small an estate is, right, a will, okay? And if it is like an estate that is really small, and if, you'd be surprised the things people fight for.
Mm-hmm.
People fight for, people fight for those plows. People fight for shoes.
Mm-hmm.
People fight for hats. You
My
know,
goodness.
Let's say it's the Dorcas hats and uniform. They'll be fighting to say, no, you don't fit. Mm. I'm the one who fits. People fight for anything. You know, they fight for coasters, for table mats.
My goodness.
So no matter how small your estate is, right, do write a will. It gives people direction.
True.
Lessens the disputes, you know, that usually follow a person who is deceased.
Mm.
And furthermore, let me just give you an example of the law in Zimbabwe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a scenario, which is a very sad scenario because it's happening all the time. In Zimbabwe, our marriage regime is out of community of property. So let's take this guy. In South Africa, it's in community of property. Just understand that. The minute you get married, everything is 50-50. In Zimbabwe, no. If I get married to this person and I had my house, the house remains mine long as it's in my name. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's out of community of property. So if I have a house, then I get married to this gentleman and I don't have a will, the law then operates. Okay, if I had a will, I would just say, no, the house is going to wherever it's going. Okay,
but
if I don't have a will, they will deal with the estate in terms of the law, okay? The Deceased Estates Act. And what does it say?
Mm.
It says if there's a surviving spouse, that surviving spouse inherits the matrimonial home and everything in that home.
Oh.
So, yes.
Ooh.
And so I have died. I have no will. I'm married to, say, George. George will inherit my house as a surviving spouse to the exclusion of my children. Anything that is in excess to that house is what maybe the children will get. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let's take it. My children are there. The house is now in George's name. George then marries Elizabeth.
Mm.
And then a year or two later, George dies.
Your things belong
and
to Elizabeth
also
now.
George, yes, George does not have a will either. So the house goes to Elizabeth, who did not even know Nyari.
Sure. My goodness.
I know. So people, and then now the first thing Elizabeth will do, she'll say to George's children, George and Nyari's children, leave. This is now my property. And at law, it is her property, of course.
Sure. Yeah. Huh?
So you see why it's so important to write a will. This is in certain jurisdictions like Zimbabwe where it is out of community of property. Okay?
But tell me then, should this will be written or can I call everyone while I'm still alive and say, all right, guys, I can see my days are numbered. You're going to get this, you're going to get that, you're going to get that, and everybody, I'm here, I've said everything, you've heard me, all of you. Does that count in law?
Yeah. An oral will definitely counts. It's just dangerous. Because people have a way of having selective memory. So even though I heard that, you know, the house should go to this person, I'm like, but that's not exactly what he said. You know, people get greedy after someone dies. So sometimes people forget, or they pretend to forget, or they predecease you. Your witnesses, they can die before you. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And so who do you have, you know, who do you have who can actually go and say? Then people start disputing, especially if they were also beneficiaries. So it's just better when you put things in black and white. You sign, it's something everyone can read. Even if people say, ah, we can challenge the will, it's very hard to get a will set aside by the court. And usually the people who like to go and challenge a will are those people who were excluded as beneficiaries.
Yes, they said, no, you're not going to get anything.
Exactly. So they get upset and then they will, they can challenge the will. But I can assure you, the majority of cases where people are challenging the will, unless it is just blatantly a forgery, or blatantly you can tell this person no way could they still sign, they were too ill or whatever. Unless there are very special circumstances, the court will respect the will of a person. Why? Because it is the will. To say it's my will means it's what I want. So the court has no power now to say, no, you should have included this child. That's how you get terms like disinherited. So even though I am my mother's daughter, and amongst the seven of us, each one of us should be the beneficiaries to her estate.
She can
just exclude me. And I, you know, I can cry big tears. Because it's what she wants.
Exactly.
That's what she wants. Exactly.
Mm.
So you can also, please, just for me to also mention this, which is important.
Right.
A will can definitely be oral, but I wouldn't advise it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But my mom, you know, my mom, this is what she did. She just said, I want everyone to know that when I die, everyone will take what they brought to me.
That's what she said. What you bought me, you take it.
Yes, if you got me a car, come get your car. You know, if you got me a house, the house
get
is
your
not,
house.
That's what my mom said. Because then, other, you know, you've got siblings who are watching closely to see, you know, other siblings doing well by their parents, and then only to start fighting for those things. But we all know that it was, you know, Spongile who bought this, who did this. Why are we all crying for it now?
Exactly.
So my mom was very wise. She just said, hey, you brought me a head, take your head. You know, so.
It's good.
But what
good.
I can say is you don't need a lawyer for you to write a will, okay? If you have a big estate, like it's really, it has many houses, many whatever, then perhaps it's prudent that you approach a lawyer so that everything is done properly and your will not be challenged. But you can write your own will, okay? Just make sure you sign every page and then your witnesses sign after you. So you sign on every page and you put the date on every page and then your witnesses sign after you, okay? Otherwise, sometimes there can also be a challenge with that. It doesn't have to be in English or it can be in Xhosa.
Oh, okay.
You can write it in your... Yes! You don't have to use, you know, the legal language. Thou hast therefore here with... It's not necessary. Just write simple English, you know?
Yeah.
My dinner set will go to my young sister. Full stop, you know? And you can also write your thoughts, you know? I've seen people writing thoughts, but please do not be saying dangerous prayers in wills.
Yeah.
So now that I'm gone... You know, I want the Lord to punish this one. Let's not do that. But people can actually, speak to say, to explain why they excluded this person. I actually noticed a lot of wills that I have seen. It would be a father say, I was very disappointed, you know, in, let's say, what Ruben did, okay? Because he slept with my wife, or he took my wife. You know, you know the Bible story of Jacob and what Reuben did. Yes, you can say, I wasn't happy with Reuben, and because of that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I think Jacob actually did that.
Yeah,
you know, I was very pleased with Joseph because, and therefore 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can actually say that, okay? You can explain why you have chosen a certain person as an executor, because in your will, make sure that you choose an executor, somebody who will step into your shoes and sign, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On your behalf, if it's property transfer, if it is writing letters, receiving letters, somebody who will run your estate and help to wind it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also write to say, no, I know you are all my children. I thought maybe let me get a lawyer to be an executor, or I thought maybe let me get Pastor so-and-so to be an executor,
mm-hmm.
or maybe let me get, you understand where I'm coming from.
Yes.
So you are allowed to write whatever you want in your will. Please don't make it a whole Bible. You can just, just summarize.
Yeah.
And so that your will is not, is not challenged.
Exactly.
Solid.
Mm-hmm. Well, beautiful, beautiful indeed. Well, you know what? I think we probably may have to continue maybe sometime next week, because we've literally only just two points that I've really looked at, and the other points I think we'll make time for next week. But for today, our time is completely, completely done. Thank you so, so much for joining us.
My absolute pleasure. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Blessings.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.